The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball.
And welcome, listeners, to a much anticipated return of Talking Baseball with Tanz and Tilo. I'm Mike Tanzini.
And I'm Tyler Lowell.
And we are here for another season of great baseball action to bring you the year's top stories, some side notes, some stats, some predictions on our part. Most importantly, we're here to have fun. Right, Tyler?
Right. Yeah.
So let's go into our first subject here. We're going to talk about a not-so-fun thing that happened over the weekend, and that was the death of Angels pitchers Nick Adenhart, who unfortunately passed away in a car accident over the weekend. He was 22 years old and was allegedly killed by a drunken driver who was on a suspended license. Not a real surprise there from that guy. But not only how does this affect the Angels stat-wise, how does this affect the Angels in the clubhouse, Tyler?
Well, of course, I mean, they lose a big friend. He turned out to be a really good pitcher his first major league debut, but
he was pitching pretty well. He had
exactly
6 scoreless innings against the Athletics.
But, of course, that's not really the main focus. This, I mean, I don't mean to sound awkward or anything, but this could be actually a boost for the Angels because it's kind of incentive. And
you know, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, tragic loss, and he seemed to be a very good prospect.
Absolutely. Like I said, 6 scoreless innings against the Athletics. He had a lot of future ahead of him, but unfortunately, fate wasn't really in his favor. Aiden's heart agent, I believe it's Scott Boras.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he was in tears, crying
fake
about the situation.
Tears, probably. I hate Scott Boras with a passion. But whatever happens,
that's
happens,
a whole other subject.
So let's start out with teams and by division and give your predictions. All right, we'll start off with the American League East.
Now this is arguably the best division in baseball.
And Blue Jays in past years have not done
Blue
too
Jays
well.
Started off pretty hot.
This year, of course, they lost A.J. Burnett, so that's, of course, a hit to their roster. But
they still
of
have
course,
Roy
they have
Halladay.
Roy Halladay, which, of course, is always a Cy Young contender in the American League.
Now, my prediction for the East, this isn't bias at all. I know everyone knows I'm a huge Yankees fan, but I really think they're the best team out there, especially with some of the off-season moves they made, getting CC Sabathia, getting AJ Burnett, not only just in pitching, but also look what they did outside of pitching. Nick Swisher, he's had a tremendous start for the Yankees. Not to mention Mark Teixeira, who hit his first home run the other day. You have a healthy Matsui back. You have a healthy Chin-Ming Wong. You have it's a whole new season with everybody back together. Healthy Posada.
Yeah, exactly.
Posada's going to play a key role, especially behind the plate. I mean, no knock to Jose Molina, but I mean, he's a good catcher behind the plate, but I just don't see him. I don't want him as my everyday catcher. I mean, I don't mind seeing him catch 1 or 2 days a week, but if I have the choice of a healthy Posada or Jose Molina, I'm going to go with Posada, naturally. But that's my prediction. I really think the Yankees have the best of what's out there. The Rays, I could see them getting in second place over the Red Sox, but I could see the Red Sox getting over the Rays. That's one of those you're just going to have to watch to find out. You can't really predict that this early. But, I mean, every one of these teams, even the Blue Jays could be a contender. You never know where they're finished.
And as of right now, they're 5-2.
Exactly. So the current standings is the Blue Jays are in first. They're 5-2. The Orioles are in second. The Yankees are in third place. And the Rays and Red Sox round out the AL East. Now let's move to the AL Central. Tyler, what are you thinking here?
Well, the AL Central is always a division where any team really could take it. The Twins are, of course, always the Twins. They
come back
past years
of
have always been a participator in the offseason, as have the Tigers, the White Sox, the Indians. The Royals, of course, have never been really contenders in the Central. Yeah. Well, 3-3. Hey, that's not a bad start.
500 ball.
The Indians, surprisingly, are only 1-5 as of right now.
Now, do you think that the loss of Sabathia is going to play a dramatic role in the Indian season?
Oh, of course not. No, one pitcher won't hinder their season that much. I think Grady Sizemore is going to be the biggest impact player personally for
the
Indians.
He's one of the best outfielders in the league right now.
If you're playing, and he is.
If you're playing fantasy ball, I think he was the number one ranked outfielder.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of the top ranked players of all the players, really, actually.
Highly underrated, too. I mean, you rarely hear a lot about Grady Sizemore, but he's just a fantastic athlete and a great, great ball player. Not to mention their loss of pitcher on the Mets.
Johan Santana.
Yeah, Johan Santana.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty sad. But yeah,
it's opening day for us too. We're allowed to make mistakes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
Good old
you
Johan.
Say that. As for predictions go, I personally think the White Sox won't keep this first place up very long just because Ozzie Guillen just tends to not be able to hold up his team.
He's a fiery guy. He's going to fire you up. But does he have enough baseball knowledge?
I don't know. They got a decent pitching staff. I mean, Bartolo Colon, of course, who's always a helper. Jose Contreras, of course, is always a great helper.
Now, I heard that he's dropped 40 pounds from the offseason. He is a whole new pitcher this year.
Well, as of right now, he has a 7.2 ERA, so we'll see how that one plays out. Gavin Floyd, another pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, who seems to be doing great this season and possibly in the future. Gavin Floyd is pitching with a 2.57 ERA so far. Mark Burley has a 2.38, so hopefully those are the two pitchers that are going to lead them to possibly another central wild card or possible pennant with the Tigers in the division. That, you know, you never know if the Twins will come back. They have before. The Royals,
you
I
never
don't know.
Know. You never
they
know.
Might be the new Rays this season.
I believe last
I don't know.
Year, or I believe the last season we did, I picked them to be in the World Series. I not one of my better picks, but I've learned over the years that sometimes you can't just go with the underdog team.
And the Pirates, of course, didn't make it your other choice.
No Pirates, Royals last season. Maybe this year, though. It's still early.
Yeah. Gil Mesh might be a single-handed 27-game winner or something.
You never
like
know.
That.
You never know.
Well, so my pick, I say Tigers, personally, just because I like what they do. I like their class, and their pitching staff is just unbelievable.
And you can't count out players like Maglio Ordóñez.
Now let's move to the American League Western Division. We have the Mariners in first place, then the Angels, the Rangers, and the Oakland Athletics. Mike, what are your predictions for this year so far?
Really? I think this is one of the worst divisions in baseball because the Rangers, I mean, they'll win. They might go 500. They'll probably go under 500. But really, I don't see anybody competing with the Angels. I think that the Angels are too powerful on the mound, too powerful with the bats, you know, the speed, everything. I think they're a five-tool team, just like there's five-tool players. They're definitely a five-tool team. And I don't see the Mariners competing with them. Despite their 5-2 start, I don't see it happen. If the re-signing of Ken Griffey Jr. is going to spark back another, you know, big playoff championship. No, I just don't see it happening. Really.
I agree with you. I don't see him single-handedly bringing the team back from the grave like they've been in the past few years. But they have a team that can contend in the AL West, but I don't believe a wild card's coming out of the West in a while. And
no,
I think,
not the West.
Yeah, exactly. And the Angels, although they lost K-Rod, which is, of course,
a loss
to any team.
Any team, of course.
But still, the Angels have one of the greatest outfielders of all time. Well, in my personal opinion of all time, Vladimir Guerrero, who's just a classy, very
fun player to watch.
Fun,
to watch.
Exactly.
I love the energy he brings to the game and everything.
Yeah, agreed. So we both pick Angels probably.
I'll go with the Angels. Now, Tyler, this is probably one of the one of the best divisions in the National League now. We're moving to the National League. The NL East. It's always a dogfight. Spots 1 through 4. It's always great to watch the Mets collapse in the end of the year. Like they've been doing
although
the past
couple
of years.
Although I root for the Mets, and it's
sad to watch them. You know, if the Mets are on, I'll watch them. I'll watch the Mets. You know, nothing wrong with the Mets. But the NL East, this is I would say this is the AL East of the National League. I think this is the most competitive division. This is where you're going to see your... this is where you're going to see your World Series
representative
of the National League. Yeah, even the wild card, too.
Yeah, exactly. And the Marlins, of course, are usually not even close to contenders in the National League East, but they've got Josh Johnson just pitched the other day against Johan Santana, of course, a Cy Young Award winner and possibly winner this year. He's just a fantastic pitcher. Struck out 13. Josh Johnson still beat him. It was 2-1, and it's just a fun team to watch.
They are. They're a fun young team. They're like, they're another version of the Mets, I think, really. Their guys are young. They're a little inexperienced, but that'll come with years. I mean, maybe this year isn't their year, but, you know, I see in the near future, they could definitely make something happen in the NL East. I mean, they'll definitely give the Mets a run for their money. They'll give the Braves a run for their money. They'll give the Phillies a run for their money. They'll give everybody, you know, a run for their money. Especially the Nationals, because they'll probably just finish in last like every year. But
and of course, they've got Hanley Ramirez, of course, is one of the arguably one of the best infielders in baseball, one of the best shortstops in baseball currently. Hanley Ramirez is batting a .348 this year, and he's just he's a great player to watch and
big fantasy player as well.
Exactly, and. You can't really look at the Marlins as a long-term team because their revenue just can't match what their players are going to demand. So
exactly.
I think if any year is their year, I think this is the year because their players are young, they're good, and they're affordable. So
exactly.
In up-and-coming years,
and
they're going to file for
arbitration. You never know what kind of energy they're going to bring this season because they have a new stadium coming their way.
So, Mike, who would your picks be for the National League East Division?
Well, despite Derek Lowe's incredible start with the Braves, I'm going to have to take the Mets on this one. I think the Mets just have enough tools, both pitching-wise and offensive-wise. Also, you know, defense and speed, you know, with Jose Reyes. But everybody up and down the lineup can run, except for basically Carlos Delgado. And I don't know, Beltran can move a little bit, but not a lot. But their speed is just incredible. Their offense is solid, and their pitching is solid too. I'd say their pitching is solid.
And of course their bullpen has acquired K-Rod and JJ Putz, so of course they will not be as weak as last season, so they are definitely looking like a solid team that could definitely take the National League East division. I think the Braves could also contend either
first or
a possible wild card, yeah. So let's move it on to the National League Central Division, where there's the Cubs in first place tied with the Cardinals, and then the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Cincinnati Reds, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Houston Astros. Mike, what are your thoughts on this division?
Well, the Cubs are obviously my favorite to start out with. I think that, you know, same thing that we just discussed with the Mets. They have the pitching, the hitting, the defense, and everything else that just makes... You know, that just makes a division-winning team. You know, the Cardinals will obviously put up a good fight, but I think that the Cubs are just the better team. I mean, they have key guys such as Alfonso Soriano, Derek Lee, not to mention their pitching staff, such as Carlos Zambrano, who's running the past couple of seasons just been phenomenal. He's always going to give you 100%, and he's really not going to get injured that much. Not to mention... They have a strong outfield again, with Milton Bradley, who's going to get into some trouble outside of the game, but he's a good player, and you can't really just count him out for that. But I mean, he's going to bring 100% each day. You have Alfonso Soriano in left field, who's just been phenomenal the past couple of years, and with their, like I said before, Carlos Zambrano, he just stands out as one of the best players on this team.
Ted Lilly, another pitcher who actually pitched just the other day and had a no-hitter into the seventh. So, of course, he's a pitcher who could definitely make
exactly.
an impact.
Ted Lilly.
Oh, go ahead.
Ted Lilly's a good pitcher. All right, Tyler, what were you going to say?
I don't remember. Also, you got Keisuke Fukudome, or as Mike likes to say it.
Fuck you, Domi.
Yeah, so.
Can't say anything about that.
Exactly.
So, well, I remember when I first heard his name, I think it was on ESPN, and I kind of had to rewind my DVR real quick to make sure I heard the right thing. I thought that a blooper had gone off, but no, it's just good old fuck you, Domi.
I think it's Fukudome, but
I've heard both ways. heard both ways. So,
and you got first base Derek Lee, who can always make an impact, almost a triple crown winner a few years back.
Now, it's not just the Cubs are going to be the standout team, but you really can't count out the Cincinnati Reds. And I think that the Reds have, I don't know, they made a couple improvements here and there, but I think that they could be a solid third place team. You know, I could actually see them beating out the Brewers for third place. I mean, it's obviously early. A lot of the stats don't really matter, but I mean, you got a couple good guys on the roster who can basically get the job done. They have a good pitcher in Francisco Cordero, Bronson Arroyo, who'll give you a decent year. I mean, he'll win 8 to 12 games. Micah Owings, the pitching standout from Arizona, who was traded. I mean, he'll hit 3 or 4 home runs for you. He's one of the best offensive pitchers in the league. I remember last year he hit a handful of home runs, and he was actually like a legitimate threat offensively. I think they had him hitting 7th during a couple games. And as surprising as it may sound, I don't think that the Brewers are going to be a real contender this year. I think that the loss of CC Sabathia was just too much for them. CC Sabathia carried them into the playoffs. I'm not afraid to. I'm proud to stand by my word and say that he single-handedly carried them into the playoffs, pitching on 3 days rest, just overpowering hitters left and right. And he honestly brought them into the playoffs. And I think that that loss for them is just too catastrophic.
And, of course, you got the Houston Astros in last place, which I would say they're not going
to
go very far out of there.
Not surprised.
Roy Oswalt had a horrible outing, which I believed he was probably one of their leading pitchers. And
when like you said, when you have your number one, number two pitcher putting up those kinds of numbers, you just can't. I mean, there's nothing to feed off of that. You can't. You're handing the ball to a three, four, five rotation, and they don't have anything to kind of back it up with. At least when you have a good, solid number one starter, you can be like, okay, you know, I know that he'll get us a win, so we can feed off of that. But with Oswalt, I mean, I think he just has too much to work with, number one, with these pitchers not being the best, and
not to mention
he himself not pitching to his potential.
Yeah, and not to mention their offense. You can't look to their offense to win games, so you need their pitching, and when their pitching fails, then their entire team just collapses completely.
When you see Kaz Matsui, you know, is a top offensive role on your team, that's obviously a problem. I mean, they have Lance Berkman.
No offense to Kaz Matsui.
No, of course not.
Because I know you're listening out there.
Kaz, we'll do lunch then.
All right, so basically it's safe to say we each choose the Cubs, pretty much. All right, now let's move it to the National League West division.
As I said earlier, I think that this is one of the worst divisions in baseball. There's just no competitiveness. There's no real, I mean, I'm sure there's a hunger to win, but I don't see a lot of energy coming out of the NL West. But, I mean, it is kind of, it's a toss-up. I mean, it's just a bunch of bad teams put in one division, really.
And it's
with the exception of the Dodgers. I like the Dodgers, what they've done the past couple years. You know, a lot of people don't agree what they did with Manny. They should have just either signed him in the beginning or just forgot about him. But they seem pretty loyal to Manny. And you know, not to take anything away from Manny, Manny's a great player. You know, Manny he'll give your offense an incredible boost. And since he left the Red Sox, I've gotten a little more respect for Manny because I don't hate him as much as the Red Sox. So, I mean, I look out in the West and I see Manny Ramirez doing big things for the Dodgers. I think that he could make them that first-place team. I don't see – I see the Diamondbacks in second, the Rockies in third, the Giants and Padres will just battle for last. But I really think that the Dodgers will take this one in the NL West. What do you think, Tyler?
I agree with what you say about the Dodgers. I also think the Diamondbacks have a great rotation. Their offense not being the strongest in the division, but – their pitching will get it done, and that's what you need as a solid base to be a good baseball team. And I think they could definitely contend for first or be a second place team, which isn't that bad at all. Diamondbacks have really built up since they've, you know, lost everyone from their 2001 World Series team, such as
Craig Counsell,
Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson,
exactly,
et cetera, et cetera. So the Diamondbacks, I believe, are the only other team that are going to contend. The Padres are looking good so far, but, you know, they're the
Padres. I don't see that continuing. But also, I don't see a wild card coming out of the West. I don't see it happening. So I think
in the next few years you'll ever see that. They'll always be from the National League East as far as the next decade is concerned, pretty much.
Yep, you can chalk that one down. And it's just, I don't see another team surpassing the Dodgers other than, I mean, the Diamondbacks have a shot, but it's going to take a really good season, a lot of prime pitching and hitting to do it. And I just don't see that happening.
Okay, well, let's move it on to our predictions for key individual players on teams.
And the American League, the top five batting average leaders, I guess you'd say, so far, is very, very, very soon to tell. These averages are going to go way down. You know, Kevin Youkilis leads the list at 522. He's not going to hit 522 this year, people. I don't care what you hear. He's just not going to. It's not done.
I don't think that's much of an insightful
it's
statement.
It's just not done. But obviously, I mean, these stats are kind of meaningless so far, especially with the average and the ERAs. But anyway, Kevin Youkilis is atop the American League with a 522 average right now. Miguel Cabrera in second with a 520 average. And Evan Longoria, 481, with number three. A surprising name to list. Look at Nick Swisher, 471 so far. He's had an explosive beginning of the season for the Yankees. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first discovered that they signed Nick Swisher, I wasn't really impressed. I was like, you know, all right, great. Another guy to come off the bench. Not a real impact player. But so far, he's hitting 471, two home runs, nine RBIs, and seven runs scored. I mean, that's just a great start.
And according to FoxSports.com and the projections, so far this season, Nick Swisher is on track to hit 106 home runs and 333 RBIs.
That's
so
pretty
it should
good.
Be a good season for Nick Swisher.
Yeah. If these hold out. Also, another surprising name, Robinson Cano. You may say that Robinson Cano is a good hitter, but last season just did not have it offensively. He's a career 304 hitter, which, I mean, that's nothing to complain about there. He's a 300 hitter. So far, he's hitting 409 with one home run, four RBIs, and six runs scored. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays this one out.
So question is for you, Mike, which one of these are going to be the, first of all, batting champion, second of all, most impact player?
Impact player, you know, it's a tough decision to see right now. Kevin Youkilis obviously is a huge part of the Red Sox, both, you know, on the field and off the field, just a guy who's ready to play, who's ready to pump up your teammates. He's going to obviously play a key role in the Red Sox. Miguel Cabrera, obviously, just an offensive and defensive standout. He's going to play a great third base for the Tigers this year. And I see him, this list of names, really the only, like, one name that really jumps out at me, surprisingly, is Evan Longoria. I think that he's just going to have a breakout season. I think that he got all the hype out last season. Everybody was expecting him to be this great player. And he's honestly lived up to the hype so far. And I think that some of the pressure is a little bit less, seeing how the Rays made it to the World Series last year. It's just a little bit less of pressure for the Rays this year. And I think Evan Longoria is going to feel comfortable in Tampa Bay, and he's going to play like an unbelievable player. That is my prediction for that.
And, of course, Evan Longoria is also leading the league in home runs with five, which, of course, should jump up. Evan Longoria is looking to be a huge impact player for the Rays and possibly lead them to another AL pennant.
Yep. Now let's move it to the National League. Ryan Terrio leading the NL with a 550 batting average. Of course, you'll see that go down quite a bit by the end of the season. That's no knock on...
Safe to say.
Yeah, that's no knock on Ryan or anything. But, I mean, 550, Not in this era of baseball. Not yet. Maybe when the steroids get a little more get out to everybody. Yeah. Maybe when the steroids get out to everybody, and Bud Selig finally allows every player to shoot up as much as they want. Maybe we'll start seeing 550s, but not this early. 476. Chase Utley's hitting 476 out of Philadelphia, the World Series champs. Chase Utley, obviously, impact player for the Phillies, a guy who's just going to carry the team. But they have a couple of those players that can carry the team, but he just jumps right out at me as one of the top guys. Ryan Church for the Mets. I mean, who would have thought, you know, he's hitting 478. You know, when you look at the Mets, Ryan Church doesn't exactly jump out at you as one of the big players, but so far, I mean, he's lived up to what they've asked him to do. He's hitting 478, two RBIs and three runs scored. Obviously still early, much room for improvement, but I mean, I think Ryan Church can have a great year, and if he does, that's great for the Mets. I mean, that's a player they really weren't. He's not a big profile, huge player, but if he can get a good solid season, the Mets should be very happy with him.
And the same can be said about Emilio Bonifacio, who is leading the Florida Marlins to unbelievable things that no one really predicted. And he's just becoming a breakout player. He's even becoming a better player than Hanley Ramirez to this point. He's hitting a 500, which, again, obviously won't stay anywhere close to there, but if he keeps anything up that he's doing right now, if he keeps his swing intact, keeps his streak going alive, then he could definitely be a huge impact player in the entire National League.
Exactly, Tyler. That's a great point. Now, moving on to the home runs, I'm surprised to see this. This guy is the top home run hitter in the NL so far. With four home runs, it's Alfonso Soriano. Now, when you think of the NL, I mean, at least when I do, I think of NL home run hitters. I think of Albert Pujols.
Ryan Howard,
exactly. Derek Lee, Prince Fielder. But, you know, that's the great thing about Soriano. Not only does he bring a lot of speed to the game, he's a great hitter. I mean, he'll hit for
all
average.
Around.
He'll hit for average. He'll hit home runs. And, you know, whenever he hits one in the gap, it's always trouble. You know, whether he's going to... With his speed, he'll turn anything. He'll turn a triple into an inside the park home run. He'll hit a double into a triple. You know, you might even see a routine single turn into a double with Alfonso. You really never know with him. He's just that kind of player. And I'm surprised to see him atop the list of home runs. But, you know, maybe he'll even have a top home run year. You know, don't be surprised if he hits 25 home runs.
Now that he's... he could be classified as a veteran, I would say.
Definitely, yes.
And so him, along with the other leadership on the team, such as Derek Lee, obviously their manager, Lou Piniella. So, of course, those people are going to be leading the team to great things. And I think Soriano, of all these people, are probably going to be one of the biggest impact players in the National League.
I agree with you definitely there. Again, we'll go with the Cubs. And to be another breakout team, and you can just see it. When you ask why, like, why do you think the Cubs are going to do this? Why do you think the Cubs are going to be so successful? This is your answer right here. Veteran guys making veteran plays and just playing like a team, and that's why I'm very passionate about saying that the Cubs will definitely win the NL Central. Now, another category, obviously runs batted in. Adam Lind for the Toronto Blue Jays leads the American League right now with 12 RBIs, with Miguel Cabrera at a close second with 10. He's tied with Evan Longoria from the Rays. And again, Nick Swisher, 9 RBIs, like we were saying before. In the National League, you got Albert Pujols with 9 RBIs. Hanley Ramirez with 9 RBIs. Not a surprise there. Hanley, as we discussed earlier, is just a great all-around player. And Carlos Delgado with 8 RBIs. Delgado's obviously the cleanup hitter for the Mets. And with good spot, I can't even tell you how many times I've been watching Mets games and I see Delgado just blast from out of the park in a key situation. I mean, Delgado's just one of those hitters. He's a strikeout home run hitter. He's either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out.
So, down to the very bottom line of it, who do you think is going to be the American League breakout and the National League breakout as the key individuals that each person will recognize as possibly an MVP?
That is a great question, Tyler. It's just so early to see. You have all these rush of stats coming in. It's really tough to make predictions, but that's what we're here to do, right? For the National League, I'll start off with the National League. Batter-wise, you know, it's it's fun to go with Pujols and those big name guys. I'm gonna pin it down to two guys who we've discussed earlier. One, Alfonso Soriano. I feel like he's due for a great season. He's past couple years he's been, you know, more average than anything else, but I think that this year he could really break one out for the National League. And of course the young stud from the Marlins, Hanley Ramirez. I think that defensively and offensively, he just brings so much to the table, and he's definitely a guy you want on your team. And I think that he'll carry the Marlins places that they haven't seen, you know, in a while.
I'm gonna agree, but you also gotta include Albert Pujols because he's always a player that always is in contention for an MVP or a home run batting title or really anything. He's just an all around great player. For the American League, I'm personally going to go with, it's a little bit early to tell, but Evan Longoria, he's in the top five in every single category.
I'm thinking the exact same thing.
Still early to tell, but he's with a great team that just was in the World Series last year, and Evan Longoria seems to be a key impact. Of course, they're a great team, and I think Evan Longoria will be, at the end of the season, a player that stands out as a key impact on the Tampa Bay Rays, and really just seen as a great American League player, and possibly even an MVP trophy could be coming his way. Also, I would have to throw Grady Sizemore out there. He's been getting better and better each year, and I think this year he will have an unbelievable breakout season that could help the Indians rise up from last place and possibly even be in contention for the MVP trophy.
Exactly.
Those are my two predictions for impact players who could possibly win the MVP trophy.
And before we sign off tonight, we'd just like to send our condolences to the Philadelphia Phillies organization and the family of Harry Callis, beloved Phillies announcer. He died at 73 at the game before the Washington Nationals. He was in the booth when he died, so he went out on top doing what he loved. That's what's most important. He was mostly remembered for his catchphrase, "Out of here," whenever there was a home run. And Harry, we'll never forget you. Well, that's our show for this week. Hopefully, we've brought smiles to your faces, and you'll invite us back in your computers next week. For Talking Baseball with Tanz and Tilo, I'm Mike Tanzini.
And I'm Tyler Lowell.
And in the words of Harry Callis, we're out of here.